So this morning, before I do the scripture, I want to ask you a little bit. Have you ever bitten off more than you can chew? Whether that's literal, right? You know, Harper likes to do that when she gets a cookie or something, you know, try to cram the whole thing in her mouth before somebody tells her she's got to stop, right? But sometimes we do that in our lives, right? We think, oh yeah, I can do that, right? And turns out it was actually much more difficult than what we thought it was going to be. Or we have so often our biggest struggles come right after our biggest triumphs, right? I'll tell you one time when I bit off more than I could chew. And it was because, as often is the case, of a case of overestimating my abilities. So at the University of North Carolina, where I went to school, used to be you had to learn how to swim before you could graduate. Okay? And that comes from the fact that over a long period of time, the school was a big Navy ROTC place. And so in order to graduate, you had to take a swim test. Now, if you're even a decent swimmer, it's not that big of a deal, right? You have to jump in an Olympic-sized pool, swim halfway down, touch the other end, and come back, and not drown for 5 minutes, okay? It's not that bad, okay? It's not. Like, I think Harper could pass it, okay? But you would be amazed at how many people the last, like, week of classes are lined up to take that swim test. I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be, you know, one of the last, you know, last people doing it. So I'm going to take intermediate swimming because I know how to swim. I can claw my way through the water. I need intermediate swimming. So showed up for intermediate swimming class and immediately was worried because there were people in there with the caps and everything, and they looked like they had, you know, like Olympic swimming gear on. I'm like, I have, like, you know, my bathing suit from Walmart. Like, that's what I had. And so the teacher says, oh, y'all know how to swim? Or like, yeah, we all know how to swim. She says, okay, great, we're taking the swim test right now. So we took the swim test, and I survived, okay? I treaded water not well, but, you know, I survived. And got out, and one other kid in there didn't. Well, he didn't die, but he didn't finish the swim test. And so she was like, yeah, I think you need to go take a different class to him. And I was like, ha-ha, that guy. And then she said, okay, everybody, back in the water. Now we're going to do the backwards crawl, and then we're going to do the breaststroke, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do all these different, I don't even remember, the butterfly stroke and all these different things. And I'm like, I know how to get from one part to another, right? There's no artistry to it. There's no plan. It's just get through the water. And so I tried for the whole, like, hour and a half of this PE class to do the things that you, and each time I would make a turn, I would see the professor looking at me. And at the end of the class, she was a really nice lady. She came up to me and she said, I think that you may be better suited for beginning swimming. And so I swallowed my pride and I said, I think you're right. And went and took beginner swimming, and it was great. And I learned those strokes and things like that that I had no idea about. But I tell you that because sometimes we get really excited about something, and then immediately the reality of it comes and smacks us in the face. And that's what is happening for Elijah in our story today. So I'm going to read you the scripture. It's 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's verses 1 through 15. Sometimes people leave out 5 through 7, but I'm just going to read the whole thing, okay? Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like one of them by tomorrow. Then he was afraid and he got up and he fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank, And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So Elijah, in the previous chapter, there's this really kind of fun and little weird story where he gets in an argument with the prophets of Baal. And he's trying to prove to everybody around that they're not real prophets, that their God is not real. And he kind of taunts them, and the goal, right, if you remember this scripture, right, the goal is who can set the wood on fire? Whose God can set the wood on fire? And the prophets of Baal are like, "Oh, we're going to dance around, and we're going to cut ourselves, and we're going to do all this kind of stuff, and maybe Baal will set the wood on fire," and nothing happens. And meanwhile, Elijah, I like Elijah because he's a smart aleck, okay? Elijah's like, "Yeah, no, it's not hard enough. Y'all keep cutting yourself, but come pour some water on mine. You know, no, douse it real good. Put a moat around it of water. Now I'll pray." And he prays to God, and it just immediately bursts into flame, huge flames. And he's like, "Y'all keep trying, though. Maybe your God is asleep. You know, yell louder. Yeah. Oh, he's not hearing? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Just give him a few minutes, right?" And eventually he gets tired of it. He says, and he orders them all to be killed and has all these prophets killed. Okay, this is his big moment of triumph, right? He's won, and immediately has to run and go into hiding because he's messed with some powerful people. He bit off a little more than he could chew. And the reason I know this is because immediately he goes straight to feeling sorry for himself. Anybody else, is that your first move, right? When something gets tough, why is it always me, right? Nobody else has to deal with this, right? When we know everybody else has to deal with this, right? It's just, but when it happens to me, I get pitiful about it. And so Elijah has to run because Jezebel's like, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you by tomorrow." Now, she doesn't, because he goes out into the wilderness a whole day and doesn't, you know, die. But he goes out into the wilderness, and he's so frustrated, he just lays down and says, "Lord, just let me die. I know I just had my great victory, but now they're mad at me, and everybody didn't just come and pat me on the back and say how great I was, and everything wasn't perfect, so I quit." And I love the part that usually gets cut out, the angel that comes and says, "Get up. Eat something," right? On a side note, sometimes all we need to do is get a little snack, right? Anybody else here get grumpy when they hadn't had something to eat in a while? Elijah needs to eat because he needs his strength, because God has plans for Elijah. So God sends Elijah to the mountain of the Lord, in this case, Mount Horeb. And he gets up on top of the mountain, and God says, "What are you doing here?" And he gives him his prepared response, right? "I'm the only one left. There's no more prophets. I'm the only person who's zealous for the Lord. And now they're trying to kill me." Now, do you think Elijah was really the only one left? No, there were others. Now, was he kind of the standard bearer? Yes. He was the most famous, and he was the one Jezebel was after to have killed. Okay? So he has kind of a point, but he's not the only one. There are always people loyal to God, even in the midst of great unfaithfulness. And so there's other people, but Elijah feels alone. And God says, I'm going to talk to you. Give it a couple minutes. And then there's the great wind. And you know, if you're expecting to hear from God, you're expecting some special effects, right? You're expecting big things, and right, this wind is so strong that it's splitting mountains in half, and it's breaking rocks, and you're thinking, that's when God's going to talk. But God's not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake, and the earthquake is so strong that it's shaking the foundations of the mountain, and yet God's not in the earthquake. And then there's the fire, but God's not in the fire. All these things. And I think God does this for a reason here. God is speaking to Elijah, but not just the words that God speaks. God is talking to Elijah, reminding Elijah that he's going to go through windy times. He's going to go through earthquakes and things that shake his very way of thinking. He's going to have times where everything seems to burn down around him. Haven't we all been through that the last 2 years? We've all had those times of earthquakes where the world seems to be just completely off kilter. We've had things just seem to be burning down around us. We've seen struggles and death and worry and concern, and now we don't know if we can pay for anything, right? It just keeps adding up. And God is saying to Elijah, you know what? I'm still here. In the midst of all that, you've got me. And when does God speak to Elijah? Speaks to Elijah when it's silent. And I loved that as I was reading the scripture, the air conditioning cut off right as we got to silence, right? Isn't that funny? Didn't plan it, but that's really cool. Yeah, maybe God did. That's right. Little coordination there. But I want you to think about what it means for God to speak to us in the silence. There's so much going on in the world around us. Right? If you turn on your phone, whether you get your news from Twitter or Facebook or one of the websites, or you have notifications that pop up on your phone, what are you going to see on there? You're going to see war, inflation, death, civil unrest. You're going to see new diseases. You're going to see arguments about 3 million different things, right? And everybody's mad and everybody's worried, and pretty soon you're going to be convinced that the whole world is just burning down around your ears. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're the only one that's not crazy. Kind of like Elijah, right? I'm the only one left. And the Lord speaks to him out of the silence. And I wonder, though, if Elijah had been determined to hear God in all the noise, and all the explosions and the Michael Bay type movie stuff, if Elijah had only listened for God in that and not waited around for the silence, what might he have thought God was saying? We all have to find that time to be alone with the voice of God, to take that silence, to shut out all the voices that are calling in our heads, all of the things that demand our time, and hear the voice of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes, like when I have a hard time sleeping, most of the time it's because there's something going in my head. And I don't know how many of you have this as well, but I always have a song kind of going in my head just all times. It's probably a crazy person thing, but it's what's going on in my head at all times. And some nights, that song will just keep going and going and going and going and keep me awake. And being able to take a moment and have some peace and quiet and calm makes all the difference in the world, right? And I will say to you, I don't have time for that. I've got so much going on. Elijah had people swearing that they were going to kill him. And there was time for the silence. time to hear the voice of God. So unless there's a hitman chasing you down right now, you've got time for some moments to hear the Lord speak. And when the Lord speaks, the great part about that is that the Lord cuts through all of our excuses, right? Notice Elijah says the exact same words about what his complaint is with God. They've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're going to try to kill me. God says, get up and go and do what I tell you to do. Out of the silence comes a mission. Those times when I have the greatest difficulty, and I think why we had so much trouble during the pandemic when we had to be at home, is that we got taken away from our missions, right? Many of us have great deal of our who we are, our identity built up in our work and the places that we go and the things that we do. And when you're told you can't go do those things and you can't do that stuff and you can't go those places, suddenly you're cast about and adrift, bouncing in a sea. What do you do? The Lord gives Elijah a mission. Go to Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king. That's your next step. Don't worry about Jezebel. Don't you think I'm more powerful than Jezebel? Don't worry about the other prophets. You just had a big victory over them. Don't worry about the storms. Don't worry about the fire. Don't worry about what's coming next. Trust that I am the one who can guide you. What I hope for me and what I hope for you is that as we go forward, we remember that there's going to be more windstorms. There's going to be more earthquakes. There are going to be more fires, literal and figurative fires, in our lives. And when we listen to God's voice, even in the midst of the tumult, even in the midst of the craziness, even in the midst of the struggle, when we listen to God in the middle of all that, then we can see what our mission is, and we can go on that mission. For each of you, that may be a little different. Your mission may be to love little ones. Your mission may be to reach out to the elderly. Your mission may be to cook meals for someone who needs it. Your mission may be to go into a mission field. Whatever that mission is, when you listen to the Lord, you can get that clarity. My prayer for you is that you'll find that time, prioritize that time to have some moments of clarity and peace. And the good news is you don't have to go to Mount Horeb in order to hear the Lord's voice. Thank God, right? It's a lot more than 40 days for you to walk to Mount Horeb from here. Speaking of swimming, you'd have to do a lot of it, okay? But thank God that you can hear the Lord's voice in your garden. You can hear the Lord's voice at the kitchen table. You can hear the Lord's voice as you're washing dishes or as you're mowing the yard. Whatever it is, wherever that place is where you can have that moment of silence and clarity before the Lord, take it. Hear what the Lord has to say. And see if the Lord doesn't cut through all of your excuses, all of your worries, and all of your cares, and send you on that next mission. Because Elijah goes on and does amazing things in the name of God. He even takes on a disciple. Next little bit, he picks up this dude named Elisha. Right? And Elisha goes on and does amazing things. But if Elijah had given up, laid down and died under the broom tree, none of that happens. Even when you've gotten to the end of your rope and you're down in a hole and you're in the cave, the Lord is still there. The Lord is still speaking. Just make sure you can find that silence to hear the voice and to go where you're sent. Amen? Amen.